Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, heroes in radio, really, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Baby, you're back. We got the boy. We got some audio issues ironed out here for the last 30 minutes, and you're really a hero of this thing, baby. I want to thank you for getting all that worked out and for being able to join us today. So, happy to have Ronald back. Piper is fresh off an appearance on an Enneagram podcast, which, Pipe, man, shout out to you, because I feel like if I was ever a guest on an Enneagram podcast, my wife would she would be starstruck. I feel like I'd be walking a little taller around the house. Or I'll kick it.
Maybe you should try it. I bet if you pitched your name to a few, they would lap it up.
Now, I feel like me pitching my name to Enneagram podcasts would be kind of the last rung on the self-respect ladder for me. it would be, in a sense, all over for me at that point. So I feel like they've got to come to me. So Enneagram podcasts, if you're listening, I would love to impress my wife right now. And I would be willing to be a guest. But Piper, I want to lean into this with you for a minute. I want to hear what your experience was like, if you heard a lot of vulnerability voice in your time on the Enneagram podcast, and just how you navigated all that.
Yeah, so it's a podcast called the Enneacast, because why wouldn't it be?
And that doesn't fill me with rage at all.
And as dedicated and in-depth an Enneagram podcast as I am aware of. You know, there are others that are, you know, lighthearted or tongue-in-cheek, but this is like a teaching podcast, like teaching. Yeah. So they take the first portion and they teach through the number, like this every episode focuses on a number. And then they bring the guest on, in this case it was me, to talk through their Enneagram story. And they have sort of these guiding questions, which thankfully they sent me in advance, because otherwise I would have been totally caught off guard by it. I mean, some of them are like childhood wounds questions and stuff like that. And then they go to a part where listeners have submitted questions, and they give the guest a chance to answer, and then they will answer. And that was the funniest part to me, because I did not follow the rules very well on that one. And then they do this sort
shocker.
Of then they do a sort of like an Enneagram.
He's at 8, Ronald.
Yeah, I know. Shocked that he just had to be contrarian about
it. It wasn't that I was being contrarian. It's that the question. So one of the questions was something like, "I'm a 4 and I don't like any 8s. What's the deal? Or how do I like 8s? Or something like that." And I answered and basically just ignored the Enneagram in my answer. I was like, "Well, if you dislike a whole category of people, that's kind of on you, and maybe you need to kind of change your perspective on things."
Maybe they're like, "This is not how the Enneagram works."
Right, I know. And so I completely disregarded that all 8s are exactly the same, and we are all complete a-holes, and everybody hates us, and was like, "You need to look at individual people and find points of commonality and do what might be called like making friends and being compassionate and kind and these different things." And then there was like 4 or 5 beats of just silence as the hosts were like, "You didn't say anything about the." In fact, I even said, "I don't think the Enneagram is helpful in this situation," and then answered.
Dude.
So yeah, that was where
never coming back on that show,
Ted. As a professor, yeah, never. Yeah. As a professor, I'm sure there are times when you know you'll pose a question for discussion, and somebody in the class will just say something off the wall, stupid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Only every minute of every day.
Right. I think the best answer for professors in that situation is just sort of like 4 beats of silence, so that just sort of sinks like a lead balloon. And then you're just like anyone else. And that's basically how they treated me when I answered that question. It was just like, okay. And according to the Enneagram, and then they answered with a little bit of vulnerability voice. It was not aggressively vulnerable, though. So
so it wasn't a huge vulnerability voice kind of situation for you.
No, because it was very, to their credit, first of all, very gracious host. Second of all, they were, it was very biblically based, which is a little odd, because the Enneagram is not inherently biblical. It's not unbiblical, but like, trying to kind of weave it together with a gospel thing can feel a little stilted, especially because it just sort of the way that it has been used has become so self-centered that it was a little disorienting. But I found that part helpful because I think the Enneagram is only useful in as much as it helps people with sanctification. And so they leaned more that direction, which I thought was good.
Piper, nice. That's fascinating. Now, Ronald, yeah. I'm gonna lean right into here. This for a minute. I know, baby. And it's so good anywhere. To have you back. It's so good to hear your voice, even if it's peaking all over the place. Radio term. Shout out to like insider radio terms. But now, Piper, this was a Sojourn production. And
I don't know that it's official. They are from Sojourn. But okay. I don't know that it's a Sojourn church thing. But I do understand that in the Sojourn network, the Enneagram, it's like you've got like...
Well, it's next to the scripture.
You've got Bible... Yeah. An Enneagram, and then, you know, whatever else. Everything else falls.
Bible is one. Enneagram's like 1A.
Right.
You know? Yeah, Enneagram is like one, like, millimeter below the Bible. It's so like, close to it. you're not sure which one's higher.
In the sermon outline, like, you read the passage for that day, and then you immediately pivot into the Enneagram. That's kind of how
you pivot into, like, what Enneagram number you think that particular Bible character is before you carry on.
Now, baby, are you tweaked because... You're kind of like Enneagram Soj guy, but they clearly went to pipe for this. Like, is there, I don't want there to be any tension in the company is what I'm saying. Cause no, this is a business podcast.
That's perfectly valid for you to think that and ask that and wonder that.
Well, I just want everything out in the open.
You know what? I appreciate that, man. I mean, because we're not really friends here. It's not show friends. It's show business.
Show business. Right? Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, I think it's, I always think it's outrageous when Sojourn does anything and doesn't ask me, which includes their four campuses, preaching every week, counseling, all their ministries, every single thing they do. If I'm not contacted and asked to be a part of it, I think there's something wrong.
Well, yeah, there's some injustice there.
Absolutely. But I'm going to let this one go because I want Pipe to enjoy his moment on the Enneagram.
Yeah, I appreciate you throwing me a bone. And It is a real pleasure to eat the scraps off your table, Ronnie. So thank you.
Welcome. Enjoy. Absolute.
As the great Bob Sugar from Jerry Maguire once put it, this is a nice moment for you. I'm going to let you have it.
Which is exactly what I was thinking of, right? Let you have it. Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, boy, speaking of business, it's usually Piper that makes the big high-level corporate business deals on this podcast because, as we've discussed previously, he's the one that does stuff. As opposed to you and I, Ronald, our roles are a little bit more ethereal. But even though I'm the chief yachtsman on the podcast, I made a business deal. I want to talk about a company. I want to talk about a new sponsor. This company is called Communion. They have a church communication app. You can find it at links.communionapp.com/happyrant. And I want to talk about some features of Communion. This is the app that our church uses to communicate. It works a lot like Facebook. But if you don't want to...
So everybody's angry all the time and sharing conspiracy theories?
Well, no, that's not the thing. If you don't want to like bow at the altar of the giant corporate devil that is Facebook, you can use Communion. It's designed specifically for local church communication, creates a private, safe way for members to stay connected throughout the week. It's available via iOS, Android, and the web. Pastors don't have to wait for their congregants to sign up. After a church partners with Communion, it can be scaled. So there's a product for big churches, medium-sized churches, smaller churches, hipster churches even. We've got a special deal for if your church meets in a warehouse or an abandoned meatpacking plant.
Can they give shiplap discounts?
Yeah, we've got a shiplap version of Communion as well.
I'm not taking the bait, boys. Don't think you're...
Baby, this is for you. This is for you, for sure. Communion offers a church-wide post wall where members can share needs, encouragements, announcements, and prayer requests. Messaging section where individuals can send private messages to other church members or groups of church members. And church-wide directory, photographs, etc. It's a great product. We've been using it at our church. It's been invaluable during the shift to... online Zoom church, and then the shift back out of online Zoom church to meeting outdoors, which I want to talk about for a minute. But visit links.communionapp.com/happyrant. When you sign up, tell them that. Yeah.
I have a question about how this, how does this blend with your dedication to Marco Polo?
Well, dude, it's at odds with my Marco usage, which update on that. After encouraging everybody to get on Marco and talking about it on my radio program, I decided that I hated it. So I'm fickle that way, Piper. I'm just kind of ethereal, you know. Maybe we can go into it when that
comment was as predictable as the tech issues Ronnie had before we started.
That's true. We're nothing if not predictable, Piper. But I do love the Communion app. I let my wife manage it though. She kind of runs the Communion app in our household. That way, I don't have to necessarily deal with it.
But you hear that, Pipe? He lets his wife manage that.
Well, no, she gladly wants to manage it.
Do you have like a Ted and KK joint account so people don't know who they're replying? Like the Facebook accounts that people do that are joint that are so
don't get me
awesome.
Started on that, Pipe.
I'm trying to get you started on it. This is me saying, Ronnie, please get started on this. Joint accounts are the best. I love them.
You know, my existence, man.
It's just under her name. I don't even have an account. That's how like old mannish I am. But baby, wow. I want to hear about this frustration from you. What's the nature of it? And then I want to talk about outside church. So we got a lot to cover. But
the nature of what?
The nature of your frustration with the thing that Piper just said.
Oh, joint accounts?
Yeah, joint accounts. Let's lean into it.
Well, hold on, man. I mean, you're not even letting us tell you what a great job. I mean, you know, Pipe, our boy is all grown up, man. I mean, you're no Pipe with the promo, but that was pretty good, man.
Baby, I feel like it was workmanlike. And It was a slog compared to how Piper makes it look effortless.
Well,
you know
he does.
What I mean?
And I'm filling out an evaluation sheet right now that you'll get in about 10 minutes. So,
yeah,
I mean,
baby,
we'll
I'd appreciate your notes.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, iron sharpening iron right now.
Iron sharpening iron. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, but I thought, Ted, that for your first promo read of your life,
yeah,
it was exceptional.
Oh,
I mean, it's wow. You've set a really high floor, and it's all uphill from here. So, I mean, you're only going to get better. I'm really impressed.
Pipe, no, you've set the high floor, dude. I mean, let's say it.
But I mean,
for himself,
you know. It's hard to come out of the gates and have success. I was really impressed. I think you did a great job,
Piper. Thank you. And yeah, baby, can you let me have this? I mean, can
of
I
course.
Just? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I just want to enjoy it a little bit.
Well, I am gonna let you have it. I mean, I did let you have it. I mean, you can't expect to be Pipe out of the gate, but man, that was solid. I mean, that was great. You know?
It was workmanlike. You know, it was lunch pail.
It was AAA.
It was
Mud Hens.
AAA. I mean, I went one for four. You know, maybe
nothing to be ashamed of at all.
Oh, baby, the Mud Hens. What,
I mean,
what,
those AAA guys make a lot of money.
What we wouldn't give to go to a Mud Hens game together right now.
Are you kidding? To be the only two people sitting 6 feet apart somewhere up in the stands.
Sit on top of each other in those box seats like we did in Toledo that night.
Yeah, be fantastic.
Oh, baby, the memories. So what's your issue with these joint accounts?
Dude, it's so annoying because you never know who you're talking to and you never know who's posting. And then number two, go back to number one and then add this on top of it. Why? Why not just get your own account? Like it's not like it's some chore to have your own account. You know?
I feel like it's a not at all subtle statement of I don't trust him.
Yes.
Because it's definitely not a statement of I don't trust her.
Right.
It is.
Wait, why not?
It is. I have. You know. I think I'm going to have to start making accusations if we go down that road, Ted.
Okay.
But it seems very much to me like this is a statement of, he can't be trusted to use Facebook wisely, and so we have a joint account. And do with that what you will. Either that, or it's the worst understanding of like what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. And so it's like this weird merging of persons into a single being through marriage, which is also very odd and not, it doesn't work at all on Facebook.
Well, yeah,
I will not reply to people who post with those because I'm like, I don't know who this is.
You don't know who you're talking to. I know. But you know what I think it was? You know what I think it's a holdover from like way back in the day when like email first became like a thing and people did joint emails. I think it's kind of a hangover from that a little bit.
It was definitely hungover. Yeah.
Dude, that was sweet back in those old days though. Like you get a, you know, email from like Jeff and Susie at, you know, Dell.com or whatever. Yeah. Those were good days.
Basically. And you would just get like two emails that day and you'd be all pumped because you'd hear that.
Yeah.
Song, whatever.
Yeah.
It was great back in the 70s, Big T.
Maybe it was so good. It was so good. You know what else was good, boys? Outside Church. Here in West Tennessee, the coronavirus is not as huge a deal as it is in other places in the country. Things are starting to open back up, including my church. So we met in the parking lot. We met outside. It was a beautiful day. It was like 70 and sunny. Wow. Here's what was interesting about it. Okay. So like per reform standard, our usual church, like when we meet inside, it's marathon church, right? As we've discussed ad nauseum on here, we do like 16 songs, 14 prayers, you know, we're there forever. Like I'm hitting a Cliff Bar and some Gatorade halfway through.
How long does your dude preach for? Big T.
Well, our dude, you know, we have multiple guys that preach and they're all great, but like they're pretty reform standard. You're looking at 45, 50 minutes.
Oh, that's standard.
On average.
That's a reg.
Oh, that's a reg. Yeah, that's a reg, dude. So occasionally if they really get going, if they get cranked up, we could hit that 55 mark.
Do you ever hit the hour mark? Do you ever hit 60?
Dude, I feel like we've hit 60 once or twice, man. But don't quote me on that. You know, yeah. I feel like
it's, you know it when you feel it, man.
You know it when you feel it. You know, the body starts to ache. You know, yeah. You're flying in the face of every bit of like communications theory and research that's
when a sermon hits 200 years. When a sermon hits 60 minutes, it feels like you've never eaten before in your life.
I was going to say your stomach is rumbling because lunch was supposed to be 40 minutes ago.
Right. You're aching, like even your eyes hurt, like your hair hurts, everything hurts.
Boys, we can't all be TK. We can't all be Timmy K, who just did that standard 30 minutes his whole career.
Dude, Timmy was so good. Has anybody ever done a better 30 minutes than Tim?
Well, obviously no. No.
Yeah. But here's the funny thing, you guys. Outside Church was like a scaled back version, and I think everybody loved it. You know what I mean? It was like instead of 16 songs, we just did like a couple. We prayed.
Did you do all 16 verses?
Yeah, we probably did all 16. I feel like even the song selections, though, were made with like with brevity in mind. And I don't know, dude, we were out of there in like an hour and 15. I felt refreshed. I don't know. I felt full of life. It was interesting.
Like, how did you guys how did you guys like stay distant? And how did you guys do it all?
Well, yeah. So they just opened up this big like swath of the parking lot and everybody it was kind of fun, man. Everybody brought like camp chairs. They had it amplified. It helped that it was a beautiful day, right? There was like not a cloud in the sky. It was idyllic. But yeah, they had it amplified. They had like the communion thing all set up where everybody had like, you know, a super safe way to do communion. Basically, I don't want to get into the weeds of it, but they had that all thought through. Like they thought through all of it, and they did a really phenomenal job. Yeah, tip of the cap to my church, man, amazing. But it was really good to be like all irony and kidding aside. It was amazing to be back together. It felt really fun, really joyful. And yeah, it wasn't marathon church, which was interesting. So I'm wondering if like maybe we'll hit somewhere in the middle when we go back. You know, to when we get back to normal, if we ever get back to normal, what that'll look like. But so baby, you're still doing you're doing video church, huh?
Yeah, we're live streaming, so it's literally live on Sunday morning. So it's okay. Yeah. So everybody's people are just clicking in their living room and doing that whole thing. But yeah.
And where are your like go ahead, Pipe. Go ahead.
So we've been doing the same thing at our church. I read an article there. It wasn't an article, it was like a comment on some social media platform. I can't remember which one. And it was talking about how a church suffered their first online church shopping casualty, where they were notified by somebody in their church that they've been checking out other live streams and have decided to join a different church in the area once coronavirus concerns end.
Wow.
Because they liked that live stream better. And so the question was like, is this going to be a thing now? Is this like have they taken to sort of online church shopping as opposed to the in-person church shopping thing?
And sure. 100%.
I found it really interesting because I was like, well, I haven't watched anybody's live stream besides my own since we started this thing. But also I work at the church so that, you know, I'm not the target market for that.
Yeah, I think that's totally happening though, for sure. Because I'm, again, just given some of the comments like we've gotten. So I hear from people every week all over the place who I know are, you know, they have other churches that they're members of or whatever. And they're like, oh, I've watched your live stream the past, you know, 3 weeks or whatever, whatever it's been. You know, it's like, oh, well, what, like, why are you doing that? Well, I don't know. You know, it's because they can, because nobody can see them watching another church's live stream and they can check something else out. But so, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see if there is some of that. Hey, you know, after this whole thing, we just decided to come your way. And then to get the backstory on that, like, well, hold on. Is it because you started watching the live stream? So I think it's going to be interesting.
Baby, now in the pantheon of pastors, how like obsessed would you say you are with technology? Because I feel like a lot of these guys, as obsessed as they are with like Winston Churchill, the next level of it is tech. Like these are big, man. Like gearheads, man. These guys
they
love buying tech. So you run into this pastor. He pastors a church of like 45 people in a small town, but he's got like the computing power of like a small nation at his fingertips. He's like, well, I got the iPad, iWatch, you know, iPhone, you know, they're all wired together. They all communicate, you know, and it's like, bro, Jeff Bezos doesn't have that much computing power. And yet, like how, you know.
If you shout loud enough, all the people in your congregation can hear you.
Dude, seriously.
Steve Jobs' son doesn't have that much computing power.
Exactly. So, baby, have you seen that in your line of work? Like, do you run into a lot of these like gearhead type guys in the business?
Oh, dude, yeah, totally. Because most pastors are kind of geeky and they're kind of nerdy and they're kind of techie. That's generally most pastors in my experience. They're cut from that particular kind of cloth. No pun, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, for sure. And I think one of the I think it's just like any tools that they can sort of accumulate and they can justify, right? Because it's going to help their job, help them communicate, sermon prep, and all those kinds of things. Yeah, I mean, dude, some of these guys, especially when you attend meetings with other dudes, and they come in, and it's like a virtual like Apple store being like, you know, being like unfolded and, you know, and set up. It's it can be really funny sometimes. Actually, it's like, wow, that's a lot of tech, man.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I think that there's a, so to go a little bit deeper with it, I think that you know, being a pastor is, you know, it's this strange job where you realize after doing it for just a little while that you don't have anything under your control. And I think having tech, I think gear helps you. It's one of those things that helps you feel like you're in control.
Yeah, it's something to manage, something to manipulate.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
something to something to distract you from all the like hard interpersonal work that the job entails, no doubt.
I think so. I mean, I've just never really been that, you know, so like I just have a laptop. I have an old laptop now, right? Which is why it's taking me so long to get on our podcast every week. But I don't know. I've just never geeked out that much over technology. I think cause it intimidates me. And I've never delved into like, especially like computer tech enough to like know all the ins and outs. I mean, literally like I do emails and a Word doc. I mean, and we do podcasts. Like I literally don't go that much further in all of my computering, to be quite honest, you know?
So now, not to be like the ignorant guy in the room, but wasn't your whole kind of ethos as a musician, like the technical, like the sounds, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you were twisting knobs and doing different things. You know what I'm saying? Like it had a technical like vibe to it.
Well, yeah, it did, because it's synthesizers, but it was all, it's analog, right? So there's no, so I didn't use computers. I don't use computers for like making music at all. I never have. Yeah. So I kind of rejected all that and like kept it really like vintage and old school. You know what I mean?
Interesting, baby.
Yeah. But I don't know. But again, that's me, because again, like, As soon as you flip open your lap, there's so many problems that come with that, like for recording and all of those types of things. And so anything that you can keep, you know, out of the computer realm, you're going to have a lot less issues with. That's kind of the
pitch behind that. It's like what Spurgeon always said: don't buy too much gear.
Yeah, I mean, that was a famous Spurgeon quote. Yeah,
famous, dude. Prince of preachers.
Absolutely, man.
Prince of gear, too, really.
Would Spurgeon have been a gear guy if he was around today?
Or would he have been more like Joe Thorne with all of his pencils?
I feel like he would have been a pencil
guy. And by tablet, I mean paper.
Yeah. He would have been a pencil guy, I think.
Ugh, pencil guys. I
think Paul would have been like the tech guy. That's
Do you think Paul would have been all over the gear, huh?
Oh, he would have had like, he would have had like all the different versions of Logos, even though like he kind of wrote them, but like he would have had all those things. And
dude, Paul would have had all the gear. He would have had all the gear already from like hunting down and persecuting Christians. And then the Damascus Road experience would have happened. And then he'd be like, well, I've already got all this gear. You know,
it's like that one passage where he says, like, remember to bring me my like parchments. He would have been like, dude, I got that apple tower in one of my, you know, beach houses off of Thessalonica or whatever, you know, bring me that thing.
Yeah, bring me the watch, bring me the tablet, and, you know, then I can do all my stuff, you know.
Totally.
And he'd sign off every letter with like texted with my own hand.
Exactly.
Promise, it wasn't voice to text, guys.
Peter would have been the guy that would have been like, yeah, man, I don't know how to do all that technology. I'm just, it makes me mad, you know, whatever.
Yeah, dude. Peter would have been a non-gear guy for sure.
Well, yeah, well, he would have had a BlackBerry, and then once, like, BlackBerry's died, he's like, what? He's like, what is, no, I want one with buttons.
I refuse to get an iPhone. That would have been Peter.
Yeah,
I refuse to jump on that Apple bandwagon.
All his texts are green, and everybody hates him. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, Peter. Tip of the cap, man.
Tip of the cap to old Pete, man.
Pete, dude. I'm glad Pete got a shout out. It's been a while.
It's been a couple of times.
Speaking of shout outs, because we're all literary celebrities, and I don't think it's a stretch to say that. I don't think it's not a flex of any kind to say that. We are men of letters. We're literary celebrities, businessmen. From time to time, we get asked to endorse books and different things.
From time to time, yeah.
From time to time, I shared an experience where someone who is an acquaintance writes self-published like fantasy novels, asked me to endorse them. I have trouble saying no. I say yes to almost everything, but I haven't been able to bring myself to read like all 600 pages or even 6 pages of a fantasy novel so that I can kind of half A an endorsement. How do you guys handle this? How do you say no? How do you deal with the endorsement requests? What do you do? How do you write an endorsement for a book that you're not crazy about? Piper, I feel like you lead the podcast in these types of commitments. How do you deal with it?
Yeah, well, I'm like the crappy backup for people who can't get the real Piper to endorse their books. So people are like, well, maybe they'll only read the last name. Let's see if he'll endorse it.
Oh, Piper's so self-deprecating, but 100% true.
Yeah, it's completely accurate. So it's easy to reject an endorsement request if you do it immediately. So you get the request and you just go, I'm sorry, I have other, you know, basically I have other time commitments. I can't take this on. And that's not that hard to do, honestly, because if you want to endorse a book well, you should probably at least look through it. That does take time and mental energy. And so you just decline on the front end. I had one recently where a guy asked me to endorse his book. I said, I'll take a look for sure. I then had to take all the time, read through the book, and decided there's no way I can endorse this book, and had to figure out how to then decline it after. I mean, so he requested it, and it was like 6 or 8 weeks later that I had to go back to him and go, I'm not doing that.
Dude, was that awkward? What did that look like?
Well, he's an internet acquaintance, and so it would be much more awkward if I like saw him at work the next day or something. But you know, he's not somebody I know well, and so it, you know, I don't think I'm losing a close friend over this one. But yeah, I just had to go back and be like, hey, you know, there's these few things about the book were good, but I basically didn't see where you were going with it. Maybe I wasn't the target audience, but I just didn't see it, so I don't think I can endorse this. And he just responded with sort of a "Okay, thanks."
Thanks.
Yeah, it's like the arms crossed, you know, pouty face.
Did you tell him you were going to endorse it, or did you say, like, I'll read it first?
I went back and read through what I had sent him because I was like, if I promise him I would endorse it, then I have to write something. If I promised him I would take a look, then I did what I said. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I'll take a look and consider it. So, I didn't cheat, but yeah, it's real awkward to go back because basically you're like, I don't like your book. That's what you're saying. And you can say it as nicely as you want. You can say, I didn't think the writing was good. You can say, I didn't get the message of it. You can say it's whatever, but it's some level. You're just like, I don't want my name associated with this
Pipe,
book.
Here's my question, man. Did you
because I feel like, was this just sort of a misstep for you? Was this one where you thought, you legitimately thought, oh yeah, this will be okay, and you were kind of taken back after you read it? Because I think, I feel like you kind of get a sense of like, yeah, this will be fine, before you don't read it, before you endorse it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a wild card. I didn't know what kind of book it was.
Okay, gotcha.
I knew what he had written previously, and it was kind of like, it was a genre that I was like, he's good in that genre, and this was different. So he moved from sort of like fiction and humor to Bible and humor, and that's a big shift. And and so yeah, it was a wild card where I wanted to be gracious to somebody who I've liked interacting with online, and instead I got a book that I was like, I can't put my name on that. And so I reached out to our friend Sam Alberry from The Magnificent Seven, which will never be aired.
Easy.
And maybe never be reprised at this point. But
dude, Sam, sweet kitchen setup.
So I reached back out Incredible. To Sam and was like, hey, Sam, I know that you get asked to endorse a lot of books. How do you reject ones? And in typical British fashion, he's like, oh, I just tell them why I won't endorse it. You know, he's
just
very,
so dry, just so dry. And
yeah, he's just like
full of integrity.
Like, could be the writing, could be the message. He's like, I just tell them what it is about it that I can't put my name on, and you know, politely decline. And I'm like, is it polite
so
if you
simple.
Tell them that you think their writing sucks?
All right. Here's specifically what I hate about your book.
It is if you have a British accent.
That's true, dude. It sounds like
fair point.
Yeah, it just sounds like music when you do it.
You can get away with, I mean, literally, you can get away with anything. It's like hearing Alistair Begg preach. It's like,
that's true.
Just say whatever you want, Al, and he does.
Yeah, it's true, dude. It's the only way to get away with being a middle-aged white guy anymore is to be British, as we've discussed.
I think that's 100. Yeah.
What about Australian? Does that work?
I don't know, man.
I feel like it works.
Mel Gibson ruined that one for us.
Yeah,
I just don't think. I don't think it works, man. I think there's something. Yeah, something about the Australian accent is basically like it's British light, you know? I mean, you're just not quite there with it.
I think it's like British drunk.
Yeah, that's better.
If you're a middle-aged British white dude, though, the world is your oyster.
Oh,
I mean, really, you're a beaut, man. You're a beauty.
There's nothing you can't say. There's nothing you can't accomplish. It's like the Tower of Babel, man. There's nothing will be impossible to you.
Seriously, dude. Oh, to be that lucky. Sam Alberry, man. He's kind of made.
Sammy, man. Sammy's
doing a great. He's got that great range.
Yeah,
he
got all the range.
Kitchen.
Man. Yeah, Sammy, well, man. Absolutely.
What a life, man. What a life. Boys, here's how I used to handle endorsements. I would write them for everything. I would say yes to everything, and I would write them that day. So, like, if I got the email at 10 in the morning, by like 12:15, the guy would have the endorsement. And
that's because T, you're like the fat T, like, okay, listeners, for those of you who don't understand this, T is one of the, if not the fastest writer of all time.
Yeah, dude, I go fast. I work
you
fast.
You go fast, man. You're fast.
The question is, are you
for your lack of British accent by going fast.
Here's the thing about an endorsement. The writing is not the hard part. It's three sentences. It's the reading that's the hard part. So what you're saying, Ted, is that you endorse stuff while basically reading the table of contents in like seven sentences.
Well, exactly, dude. That was my secret. I would read the table of contents. I would maybe read like some of the marketing copy that came with it, if some did. Or maybe the first couple of paragraphs of the first chapter. And I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna Mad Libs out like a little endorsement about sometimes if I knew I wasn't crazy about the book, I would just talk about what a good guy the author was.
Those are always the ones you can tell, man, where they're just like, material's okay, but man, I love this.
Yeah, I've been loving it for a decade. He's a man of integrity. You know?
Sometimes it's not a comment about the material at all. So I think one of my books, I can't remember which one, I sent out a request for endorsements, and I got one back from a prominent pastor in less than 10 minutes.
Oh, nice. Man.
So I would be honored if you would consider taking the time to read this. And if you feel good about the book, if you like it, would you please consider sending me endorsement? You have until this date, whatever. 10 minutes later. And it was the most canned, like, Barnabas is worth reading. I mean, thanks.
Barnabas is a guy I know.
Yeah. I think I remember who this is. My
guess is 211 pages.
I think his assistant probably has like a Google Doc of canned endorsements, and it's just like, drop author's name in here, send back. And I think it was one of those.
That's a life goal right there. I mean, it's a weird kind of flex, honestly. But I kind of dig it, dude. I know,
at this point, I think I might go back to him and go, this was an endorsement for the book. Like, would you read it first? And and if he's like, no, I don't have time, like, well, just tell me you don't have time then. But I'm not going to take an 8-minute endorsement on, you know, that's like getting a microwave dinner when you ask for a steak. Like, try harder. This is not important.
Yeah, it's like going to a really high end steakhouse, and they bring you out like a TV dinner.
Yeah, here's a Salisbury steak with some brown gravy. Enjoy.
Exactly. Ah, dude, that's funny. You know what's funny about this too? I have a book like technically dropping now. It's this book. It's the second like little graphic novel. So I did this first graphic novel, The Extraordinary Life of a Mediocre Jock. This one is about theater. It's live on Amazon. Like, people have gotten them, but like, I don't know if the endorsers have gotten their copies. Like, just because of COVID, the whole thing has gotten kind of out of whack. So, if you're my publisher and you're listening, make sure the endorsers get their copies. I don't even know how this works in like a pandemic addled, you know.
I mean, there is still mail, right?
There is mail. But
yeah, but
like,
Amazon wasn't shipping non-essential things for a minute, and warehouses were shut down, and a lot of publishers use like third-party warehouses and stuff. So here's how I'm
looking at this. Here's how I'm going to leverage this. If my book sells badly, I blame COVID, and they owe me another shot, right? So I should get a...
It's a great time to release a book just for that.
Oh, just a phenomenal time, baby. You know, and I feel like there have been so many lucky breaks lately in my publishing career. This is just the latest. But yeah, maybe that's
what's the name of this one? If you're going to back your way into a self promo, at least back your way all the way.
Yeah, back yourself all the way into it, man. Just
I'm backing into the promo, but I'm going to square up on it now. Okay. It's called the Outstanding Life of an Awkward Theater Kid, by Ted Kluck. Wow. It's a graphic novel. It's a lot of fun. I think it's funnier than the first one.
I liked the first one.
Can be candid. Yeah. I liked it too, dude. I thought the first one was a lot of fun, but I feel like I really kind of hit my stride on this second one.
This is one of my favorite things about you, Ted, in all sincerity, is that you will talk about your work as in a non-pretentious way where you're like, oh man, I loved that one. And it's something that you created. And it's not arrogant. It's more like surprised that it turned out the way you liked.
No, it's totally, it's like, it's exactly the way that Big M talks about her cooking. So she'll finish something and she'll be like, this is the greatest thing you will ever taste. And then people just think that's so funny because it's like she's talking about her like dishes like that. But it's like, well, no, because it is. Because
you don't want to ruin the moment for her.
Well, she's not like it is that delicious, and she's not saying she's like, as soon as she's done with the dish, it's almost like it's everybody's dish after that.
Well, and that only works for people who are self-deprecating. So if you're like a confident, you know, who's always kind of willing to put your stuff forward, then you sound a little pretentious. But if you're constantly like, man, I don't know, like Ted makes fun of himself all the time. So then to say, man, I really liked that one, sounds much more like surprise and excitement than it does self-aggrandizement. So
totally. Dude, I'm a colossal failure at most aspects of life. I'm only good at like two things. So, so this is a nice moment for me. People should let me have
it. I wish you would have been good at writing books with me, Big T.
I know. Yeah. I wish that too.
That would have been fantastical.
It really would have. You spent time investing in the wrong guy back in those years.
I was going to say vice versa, but you know, why not? Yeah.
You should have shot your shot with somebody else. But that was kind of before you got the hang of Twitter and Pipe wasn't
around back then, man. Pipe wasn't me and Pipe weren't buds. But
when are you and Pipe gonna do a book together?
Pipe doesn't do co-write. I think he's a non-co-write guy.
Yeah, dude. That's probably
nice. Kind of like him and Jared C. These guys don't do co-authors, but I love co-authors with Jared. It's half the book.
Well, here's the thing. I think the way that you guys did co-authoring I could do, because you just wrote your own chapters. Mm-hmm. And you didn't mess with the other person's work, from what I understand. Well, nobody messes with Ted's work, including the people who are hired to edit Ted's work. So I think I could do that, where it's like, all right, I'm going to take the chapters on, you know, this, and this, yeah. and you're going to take the chapters on that, and that, and never the twain shall meet until they're a finished product. But I don't think I could do the kind of thing where you're like collaborating on each paragraph or page.
No way.
That would be so hard for me. I don't know. I don't even have a concept for how people write like that.
I'm actually getting ready to do one of those, and I've only ever done with Ted the own chapter thing. But the own chapter thing, I mean, I think we did okay with it, Big T. But like,
yeah, we did.
It definitely can lack some. It can be a little choppy, lack some continuity.
Yeah. Dude, we did better with the first one than the second one. But tell us about the new deal, baby. Who? Because Piper and I, we like.
I'll tell you off the air. It's top secret right now. So
yeah, we did an NFL draft of all your like all the hooks that you had in the water. And like which ones were most likely to hit and which ones weren't. So
I would think you had more to talk about than that.
Oh, we did.
We had a lot of.
We went for like an hour and 20 minutes. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, it's that bad. Oh my gosh. Guys, remember the sports apps represent me just a little bit too. So I need you to like be careful.
Maybe just fast forward to your parts. I know you claim to not listen to the program.
Judas, I'm going to have a heart
attack. Dude, you were the first 20 minutes of that podcast while we talked about all the irons you have in the fire or hooks you have in the water, to use Ted's metaphor.
All right, so, fair enough, man. Yeah, fair enough.
We understand they represent you a little bit, and we represented you a lot.
I appreciate that.
Piper, I got to do some hard-hitting journalism on this. I'm not going to let Ronald off the hook just yet. So. Okay. Like, of all the kind of corners that you're working on Twitter, and you don't have to say the person's name or even like the gist of the book. Like, can you give us a little hint of what kind of book it is, just for our own edification?
Like, dude, I can't. No, I can't.
Are we leaning into? Is this like pastoral musings, or is this like?
No,
I'm collabing
it's,
with
no,
a music
it's
guy
not,
to talk about
not.
The culture. Or
I have a pastoral musings one, but that's just going to be me.
Called
no,
kind of like in a kind of an expanded Yoda thing.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. But I'll tell you guys off the air.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Piper, what do you make of this?
Coy Ronnie is not my favorite Ronnie.
Oh, Coy Ronnie. Make it oops.
It's better than bored Ronnie, who just sort of shrugs and is like, whatever. But it's equally as non-verbose, and so I'm kind of disinterested.
Well, let me ask you this, Pipe. What's your favorite Ronnie?
I feel like Pipe is kind of anti. I feel like Pipe's been on sort of an anti-Ronnie kick lately, Big
really?
T. If I could just.
Whoa.
Wow. No. Listen, when I say anti, I don't mean that you hate me or that you despise me.
Well,
that
tends to be what anti means.
It does. You know, I have to put too fine a point on it. But.
You say tomato, I say tomato. I'm just saying, like. I think what you just said. I think Pipe's a little bored with me, right?
Fascinating.
Really? That's all I'm trying
to say.
Baby,
what do you need to do to put some freshness and some life back into the relationship?
I need to write a book with him, but I just told you he doesn't do co-authors.
But you're writing a book with somebody else.
You're writing two books. You got pastoral musings. You've got this mysterious co-author who has jumped to the front of the line. Like there's. Yeah,
maybe tell us about your Yoda book, your expanded Yoda. When did this come about?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not like an official thing yet, but I'm, you know, we're in that phase of it.
You're working on it. You and Wolgs are trying to bang this.
We're working some magic right now.
Yeah,
right.
Working some magic on that prop.
Dude. Absolute.
Dude, you got the vibrant back and forth going with Wolgs?
Throwing
the ideas out there, getting a little synergy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like me and Wolgs are totally back into it. We kind of had a little bit of a little wilderness.
You took some time apart. Kind of
yeah,
like
I mean that was more me than Wolgs, you know. And then I'm fully back into it. I got all kinds of irons in the fire and all that stuff. Yeah, so.
We can tell. We can tell by your like your Twitter life, kind of the different corners that you're working. You know, you've got a lot of irons in the fire right now. I wish I knew
with those irons. I feel like I'm just joking around and you guys are being serious about that. I don't really feel like.
Well, dude, I feel like
how do I have different irons than I ever had?
Well, I feel like you've got the potentially collabing with a music guy iron. You're always working the Jaren C thing. And then, like, maybe, like, and this would be crazy. This is the high upside. This is the high ceiling, low floor.
Yeah, I want to hear it. I would love to hear a high upside, man.
High ceiling, low floor is collabing with a woman. There it is. I said my piece. Talk to Rick.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, no, I think everything you just said is it's all up there, man. It's all
or musings with an old pastor, like so you collab with like one of the old standbys of our tribe.
I mean, I think we'd all like that. You know, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's yeah. That would make it rain.
Give me 3 years and I'm going to be that guy to someone else. You know,
so. Exactly, dude. You got to hang on a little while longer.
Right. I got to hang on another couple of weeks and I'll be that guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Judas. We got to end.
Piper, our boys all grown up. This is fascinating in light of what we talked about last time. I can't wait.
I think Ronnie and I need to settle this am I bored with Ronnie thing. He kind of just tossed that toward me and then walked away.
It's and like I'm a marriage. Left, you don't just drop that bomb.
Yeah, I'm left holding this stinky thing here. Oh, you know, I want to hear this one out.
It's totally legit. I'm not offended. If you are, you are. It's okay. You know, I mean, it's okay.
I would like to know what gives you the impression that I'm bored with you.
Because you just made a comment a minute ago about, how did you say it? Like, that's my least favorite Ronnie.
Yeah, I said coy Ronnie is my least favorite version of Ronnie.
I think I just am catching a vibe that maybe you're going a little sour on Big R. I don't know what to say, man. It's okay.
Okay, Enneagram 4.
It's okay, Enneagram 8 pipe. It's okay. That's all I'm saying.
I'm gonna be Paul Tripp. Okay, I'm Paul Tripp right now, and I'm like making that little triangle with my hands, and I'm leaning back.
Oh, the triangle hands.
It's the triangle hands.
I can see them. It's a very calming gesture.
It's calming gesture. Now I'm just gonna ask you, Piper. What's your favorite kind of Ronnie? Okay, so let's end this session. We've got just a couple of minutes left before our time's up, before you swipe your insurance cards on the way out. What's your favorite kind of Ronnie? If Coy Ronnie is your least favorite, what's your favorite?
So I have a few different favorites, actually. Like this is not – so Ronnie, you've got a lot going in your favor here. I like the Ronnie who says that he has a lot to say about something. He's like, oh, man, I have thoughts on this. And then and then backs his way into a neutral opinion. It makes me laugh every time. Every time it's funny. It's like, oh, I got thoughts on this, but kind of whatever. I like.
Because I'm hoping to write a book with that guy someday, Pipe. So I don't want to, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's master, not manipulator, because that sounds very negative. Just like he sees the whole chessboard when he avoids making strong statements.
Dude, Ron's playing chess. The rest of us are playing checkers.
Yeah, you know? I mean, yeah, and some of us are like some of us are just like over here hitting the blocks with a hammer. I don't know. And I like live show host Ronnie because, boy, it's like Ronnie on cocaine. Like a live room of literally people with Ronnie. I mean, we don't get to see that because we sit in small rooms with microphones and it's just a little bit more subdued. So
it's not a sweet spot for me. I'm way better in front of a crowd.
Ronnie in a room of, you know, 50 to 150 of our closest friends is just dynamic.
I've seen the cocaine backstage.
And then I think nostalgic Ronnie is awesome. In terms of love of all things 80s and 90s, you know, the conversation that we had about your dad, whatever that was, 2-3 months ago, Ronnie. Maybe it was more than that. What is time anyway?
I don't know. Yeah.
Those kinds of things, like memory Ronnie, is a great version of Ronnie.
Wow.
Ronald.
That's a lot. That's a lot to take in. I feel very affirmed. Okay. I feel honored. I feel like, man, our friendship goes deep with comments like that. I mean, I feel really good. I haven't had anybody say nice things to that degree in like literally days.
I mean, it's
been since Sunday.
Wow, it's whole days without being showered with compliments. That must be so hard for you, baby.
It's been a tough week. And Pipe, you brought me out of the pit. I appreciate that, man. I'm getting ready to write a psalm about you right now.
So does that mean that like you might endorse something that I do in the future now? I'm back in good graces.
You know what, boys? I think that we have a deal, an unspoken deal here on the HR that says it's an automatic endorsement. I don't care what the book is. It's automatic unless it's your first graphic novel, which I didn't endorse, Big T.
Did I ask you to?
You did. And it just slipped through the cracks.
So here's the thing. I actually chose not to send you guys my next book for endorsements because it doesn't feel like a thing that you do with like friends. It feels like a thing you do with like associate friends. Yeah, industry friends, conference friends, like version those versions of friends, not like people who are your friends. You just give them copies.
Except Pipe, there's such a great Piper. There's a great chance that like me and T would have been the ones that actually read the book though before the endorsement.
That's,
you know?
That's fair. Well, I'll let you know if my other requests fall through.
Well, that's great. Hey, what do you feel? How do you feel about that, Big T? If all the other requests fall through.
I'll take it, dude. I'll take it.
Like anything not to do an endorsement, I beg you.
Yeah, no, it's fine, dude. I would endorse the heck out of a
I only do forwards. I don't do endorsements. It's either a forward or not.
The forward guy. Yeah. See, now that's a good corner to work, man. Absolutely.
No, you got to be next level.
I don't think I've ever done a forward for a book. I don't think I've ever been asked.
Dude, I think I've done a forward or two.
I had you give me sort of a mock forward for a prop I was working on. Yeah.
I remember that one, but that book, did that book ever get, I don't know what happened to that one.
It's getting repositioned. We're chatting right now. Yeah. Hang in there, pal.
Dude, I've written forwards as two NFL quarterbacks as a ghostwriter. So I've written two fake forwards. Dan really? Marino and Carson Wentz. Yeah.
I've written Marino. Forwards for people who are borderline illiterate. It was great.
Exactly, dude. It's awesome. See, that's what I want to do for a living. I want to just write forwards for famous people who have no interest in writing or reading. I think that could be my wheelhouse. But now, Ronald, if you've got time for one more question.
Sure. At this point, what's the diff?
Yeah, what is time, right? What is time? Do you consider conference friends real friends? Because I feel like you got a lot of conference friends. That's maybe your like leading group of friends at this point is conference friends.
Dude, and I think that there's – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Piper considers them fake friends, and I think I agree with him. What do you say?
It just depends at what level they're at, right? So like some of these dudes you see a few times a year, but when you see them, you automatically just like – you go deep, you like it feels like you've known each other your whole life. It's like any other kind of friend, right? You just don't see him as often. And then there's those other guys that are sort of like the naughty friends, and you talk to each other and you kind of have an inkling about what their lives are like, and you probably exaggerate it more than they would like you to. And I just think there's different levels. You know, I mean, we can't all have the kind of friendships that we enjoy like we enjoy on the rant, boys.
Well,
I mean, not everybody has this.
There's some exclusivity here, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think that conference friends are fake friends. I think they're more like friends in the queue. We're like, if I lived in your city, we'd probably be friends.
Yeah. We'd be real life friends.
There's a real limitation on what kind of friend you can be when you see somebody, you know, 2 to 4 times a year. And you live
or a dozen times a year in Ron's case.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Ron could actually, like, Ron sees conference friends more than I see some of the people I work with. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. But check it out, boys. I've had some comp friends become better friends because I've seen them enough times during deer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Not to drop any names or anything.
Yeah. Not to drop any names, but you know,
you consider,
I mean,
that Jared C a real friend, or is he like a fake conference work friend?
No, Jared C is 100 like a totally real friend.
Mm. Yeah, well, there is Piper.
Me and Jared C go deep, man. We go deep,
So deep, dude, so deep. Well, boys, I think we've accomplished a lot on this program. Wow!
What have we accomplished exactly?
Can we break that down? Do you have three? Can we Baptist that one down? Do you got?
I mean, we've wasted an hour and 15 minutes of each of our lives. That's for sure a thing that we've accomplished.
And these days, that does feel like an accomplishment because time is just the enemy.
Did you guys really do $120 on sports?
No, we did $1 on sports and $20 on you.
It flew by though. Is the thing? It was fun. We were talking about the Jordan docs.
Oh, and,
dude, I could have done another hour on that. Easy. It was.
Is that thing over now? Is that whole thing? Are they
two more apps? Two more apps.
Two more apps. Two more apps.
Two more, and then you can watch them, baby.
Well, you know what's so funny is I keep hearing. Okay, so here's a little sports, rant for you. I mean,
maybe I bet here. Listen, I bet at Jared C is watching them. That'd be a point of connection for you two.
It would be.
You could go deep on those.
I could, except me and Jared C don't do sports. But here's the thing, man. So when
he does, though, is the thing. He could. It would be a way for him to like you even more if you went to the table with a little sports talk.
I can't do that though. They got to like me for who I am, not for who I'm not. Oh snap.
So Last Dance, right? So yeah. At first, I feel like everybody's just like crazy. Everybody's just gaga over this thing. And I feel like the last couple of eps now, it's like, yeah, Jordan wasn't really that great of a guy, was he? I mean, he was kind of had some issues. Dude was like kind of controlling. He was just kind of, it was all about the money. His attitude was like I'm starting to hear all that stuff break out now. What's the deal?
Yeah, dude. I mean, he was that way. And I guess Piper and I, by nature of being like pretty deep dive sports and Jordan fans, anyway, like we knew that going in. Okay. So to me, it's just gotten more interesting as more of that stuff has come out.
Is it weird that I just, anytime somebody has made it to that, like those upper echelons, yeah. I assume they're all like that. And I don't mean that negatively. Yeah. I mean, these people,
no, they you mean it positively,
right? Yeah. They become, they're businessmen. I mean, it's just, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it is kind of what it is.
Yeah.
They're businessmen. They're calculating, working different connections. They're like you, baby.
Yeah. They're not athletes. They're CEOs.
CEOs. You're also the CEO of Ron Martin Incorporated.
Well, correct. But I mean, yeah. Well,
it's funny what you're observing from it as a non-viewer, Ronnie, is it's like the arc of every famous person in the internet age, where they go from everybody loves them to, wait, there's some issues, to, oh, we all hate them. Except you've just seen it over the course of like, whatever, 4 weeks or three weeks.
And I've seen it only on Twitter, which is super funny.
Well, that's where all of reality is. Nothing exists on Twitter or Instagram. Those are where real things live. True. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it weird that Ted doesn't really live real life, Pipe?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. What's it like to just live a fantasy?
He's living in a fantasy world off of Insta and Twitter.
Yeah,
I got a fake life going over here, boys.
I know, dude. I mean, how does it feel like to just be that devoid of reality?
He keeps talking about this wife and these children of his and this employment and this, this campus novels. That he has to go to. I've seen no proof. I see no, dude,
I've got nobody to work for potential book deals besides my wife and my two kids. So I'm really working on my boys' writing, you know, like maybe one day I could collab with them with no Twitter, man. I've got very limited options.
Maybe let's keep one thing clear. You have one collaborator and he's on this podcast right now. Let's be clear about that.
Do you mean to tell me that we could sell another 1,100 copies together?
That would
be incredible.
We could definitely not sell another book together, and you better believe we're going to do it.
Baby, so last question, and then we're getting off the air.
Please.
Because the suspense is killing me.
For the love of everything.
This little co-author ditty that you've got going that you're not gonna disclose, I just want, because Piper and I are gambling men, okay? I want you to set an over-under on the number of copies that you think it's going to move. Realistic over-under. And Piper and I are going to take the over or the under, and then I'm going to sign the program off. Number of copies.
And dude, don't sandbag. That's cheating.
Yeah, knowing what you know about the industry, about this collaborator, how A-list or B-list or C-list or whatever they are, we don't know who they are. How many copies?
I don't know, man. Over... Over 10, under 15.
Ooh, over 10, baby. That's ambish. Over 10.
Piper? So that's not me. That's not me, right?
So let's see. So if he says 10, so the over-under is 12.5 then.
Yeah, 12.5 is the over-under. I'm taking the under. That's a lot of books.
Yeah, I probably went way too ambitious on that for sure.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like, how authors interact with publishers, instead of the publisher being like, yeah, actually the average book sells, 2,500. I think I'm going to take the under as well, but don't take offense at that. Pipe. It's purely statistical. I'm just playing the numbers.
I'm taking the under on it too.
We could get off the air here and he could drop a name that would make us change our minds.
Have you signed with a publisher on this thing?
Not yet.
In that case, I'm taking the way over. Publishers, way over. I'm betting the way, way over so that Ron can get a real advance on this thing.
One last question. Does the co-author even know that he or she is doing this yet? Does the co-author even know you personally?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, boys, this has been a fascinating hour plus of radio.
Oh, it's been so long.
Yeah, it's been so good, though, baby. Hasn't it? to get over that hurdle that you and Pipe were struggling with there.
Before. Oh man, I was
like
glad
in
we
your
got
relationship,
to work
that out. The walls up. You know,
yeah, no, I mean we're better for it.
I don't want to say I'm
better for it.
I don't want to say I let the healing begin, but maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. You know.
I think
a counselor's job is just to ask the questions. You know, right. I just set up the environment and I just
hold your pen and your little analog notebook.
Two things real quick. Drink Redbud City Coffee Roasters coffee. Not Redbud coffee, Redbud City Coffee Roasters. It's delicious.
It's still redbudcoffee.com, but Redbud City Coffee Roasters is the company name.
It's a little distinction. When you're a coffee mogul, sometimes your business partners throw you a little curveball and you got to just adjust on the fly, which is what we just did. Piper, tell us about Dwell, and then I'm going to get us out of here.
Yeah, so our last sponsor is Dwell Bible App. It is an audio Bible listening app available on all mobile platforms. Listening plans, there are multiple narrators, there are musical backgrounds. So basically, you can engage scripture in an audio format, however works best for you. And as things start to reopen, you might be back to commuting. That's a great time to do it. If you're stuck at home with kids, you definitely need it. Check out Dwell. It's dwellapp.io/happyrant. They are offering a 33% discount for anybody who orders through that link. So it comes out to less than $2 a month. So dwellapp.io/happyrant.
Chris, can you get that?
What's that?
Somebody rang our doorbell. It's just me and Tristan home here. Okay, sorry,
cool.
Dude.
No, I was like, wow, that's cool. I just that was an interesting interruption. So yeah, dwellapp.io/happyrant and maybe the person at the doorbell needs Dwell, and so you should go pitch that to them shortly.
Oh, can you go check it out for me?
This is my favorite sign off we've had in forever.
Check it out.
It's just making Ronnie wait.
Yeah,
it's literally torture.
Well, Piper, that was a real promo read. I know that. And Ronald's got to get off here because he's making money moves, Pipe. He's got to maybe text and call with these collaborators. I mean, we're really keeping him here. So, boys, we've done what we always do in that we've solved an interpersonal conflict and talked about some other stuff on the program. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.